Last week, if you remember, we talked about a chance encounter between Jesus and a blind guy. Didn't seem to be planned, just walking along, and the blind guy was just sitting by the road, and this encounter took place. This week, we're going to hear about a seeker and a planned encounter between Jesus and a man named Zacchaeus. But it remains to be seen who is doing the seeking and why and what is found. Reading from the 19th chapter of Luke, the first 10 verses. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down immediately, and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household. This man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So, what were the three questions I asked before reading this lesson? Oh, that's right. Who is doing the seeking? What is being sought? And why? At first glance, the answers seem pretty obvious. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. So there you have it. Zacchaeus is seeking Jesus to get a good look at him. He wants to see who he is. He's not expecting an encounter with Jesus. He just wants to see who he is. But we discover that Zacchaeus has a problem. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When I was a kid, I loved the story of Zacchaeus. It ranked right up there with David and Goliath. I remember the song we were taught. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. You can join me. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, 'cause the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord walked by that day, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today." Very good. You remember that song. I was clapping there and I was thinking of that last chorus where we clapped, and I almost looked over to see if Brandy was looking at me last week. She sat up so pretty and looked around. Oh, they're clapping. Good old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. For the first 15 years of my life, so was I. In fact, up until 11th grade, I was the second shortest kid in my class. So to me, Zacchaeus is a superhero. He didn't let his shortness keep him from seeing Jesus. And if amid the crowd, Jesus could see Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree and call him by name, then surely amid the giants of my classmates, And my brothers and sisters, all but one of whom was older and taller than I was. In fact, now that I think about it, I don't think it was very long before my younger sister, who was 6 years younger than I was taller than I was. Well, if Jesus could see Zacchaeus and call him by name, then surely he could see me and call me by name. And I would say that's exactly what he did. Sycamore trees, by the way, are a great place for short people to get a good view of the landscape. There are fruit trees. They bear figs. In fact, that's what the word sycamore means. Sycamore comes from the Greek word sycho, which means fig, and moro, which points to a particular color of fig, a reddish, purplish color. So I'm told. I'm not a fruit grower myself. They have low branches, and they're easy to climb. So if you want to see but not be seen, the branches are very good camouflage because the leaves are as big as 4 or 5 inches. They're heart-shaped. And despite Zacchaeus' eagerness to see Jesus, there's nothing to suggest that he actually expected to be brought face-to-face with him. After all, he wanted to see Jesus, not to meet him. And Zacchaeus isn't likely to draw attention to himself by asking Jesus to join him in the tree, because he knows what we will very soon discover, that the crowd doesn't think too much of him. Last week's crowd couldn't be bothered by the blind guy, but this week's crowd absolutely despises Zacchaeus. Whether fairly or unfairly remains to be seen. Well, Zacchaeus may not have meant to have an encounter with Jesus, but Jesus definitely did intend to encounter Zacchaeus, as we will soon discover. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." It's almost as if Jesus had an appointment in his smartphone. Not that he had a smartphone. But I have a calendar in my smartphone. And I have my appointments in it. I could see Jesus looking up. What's going to go on today? I see. Meet Zacchaeus at 12 o'clock. Literally, at 12 o'clock. Note to self. Look for him. He may be obscured by fig leaves. Obscured by fig leaves. That reminds me of somebody else that God was seeking who was obscured by fig leaves. But that's a story for another time. And not only does Jesus expect to meet with Zacchaeus, he expects Zacchaeus to make lunch for him. Boy, he's got nerve. But what did Zacchaeus think about all this? Did he tremble in fear like Adam and Eve behind their fig leaves? Zacchaeus came down immediately and welcomed Jesus to dine with him gladly. Zacchaeus may not have intended to meet Jesus, but given the opportunity, he gladly accepted. The crowd, however, had a very different reaction, through which we learn much more about what kind of man Zacchaeus really was. Or at least what kind of man they thought he was. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone in to be the guest of a sinner." We've talked about this before. The people simply assumed that as a tax collector, Zacchaeus was a crook. Many people do the same thing today. Out of jealousy for the rich, they assume that no one can become rich without having cheated somebody somewhere. So says the person who won the primary for mayor of New York City. It's a sin to be rich. For example, the same people who applauded Jesus and praised God for giving sight to a poor blind beggar are now, the very same day, accusing Jesus for what? For allowing himself to be a guest of a rich person and therefore a sinner. If Zacchaeus isn't a sinner simply for being rich, as many would say today, he must be rich because he's a tax collector. And as everyone knows, all tax collectors are cheaters, raising money for the enemy government and extorting a little bit in the bargain. How else, they thought, could he get so rich? Jesus, a friend of sinners, that's okay. But Jesus, a friend of the rich? Too many today would say, if he's a friend of the rich, he's no friend of mine. But does Zacchaeus deserve to be called a sinner any more than the rest of us do? Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor." That's quite a promise, to give half his wealth to the poor. He was very wealthy. Bible says so. I hope he gives that wealth out carefully, because the Bible warns against giving money or food and asking nothing in return. It tends to spoil people just like it spoils children as they're being raised. And if Zacchaeus expects to live off of only half of his wealth, I imagine he'll have to change his lifestyle. After all, he's not promising, like some people in the Gospels are told to do, to become a disciple of Jesus and live off of him. And most people tend to live according to their means, or maybe a little above, certainly not below their means. But that's only half of his promise. Here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. That's much more than the law of Moses required. In Leviticus 6, the cost of atoning for theft is to return what was stolen and add 1/5 to it. If I steal $100, I give back $120. I don't give back $500. His offer reveals two things. First, how eager he is to cleanse himself of any sin he has committed. And second, and maybe more to the point, how little sin he must actually be guilty of. After all, just how much has Zacchaeus cheated anybody? If he can afford to give away half of his wealth, repay anyone he has cheated four times over, and still have enough to live on. I doubt that Zacchaeus cared very much what the crowd thought of his offer, but what did Jesus think of his offer? Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because this man too is a son of Abraham." No word about faith, except the implication that it was his faith in Jesus that led him to change his outlook on life. And it was that changed outlook that became evidence of his salvation. Jesus, who sees the heart, must know the genuineness of Zacchaeus' promise. He also, no doubt, knows just how much to the penny this promise is going to cost him. And I wonder, just who did Jesus stage this meeting for? For Zacchaeus' sake, who seems already on the path to salvation? Or for the sake of the crowd, who was so quick to condemn? So in answer to the three questions we started with, who was seeking, what was being sought, and why, we find our answer and then some. Zacchaeus was seeking. He was seeking Jesus simply to see him. And he ended up inviting him to dinner. But that's not the only surprise in this story. Because the last verse, verse 10, turns the whole story on its head. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The Son of Man came to seek. I thought Zacchaeus was doing the seeking. But here Jesus calls himself the seeker, and Zacchaeus is the one being sought. And he's not being sought to get a look at him. He is being sought in order to save him. And isn't it often true in our lives that just when we think we are seeking Jesus, we discover that he's the one who's been seeking us all along? No wonder Jesus says in John chapter 6 that no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me. And in the same way, God has much more in mind for us than simply to see who Jesus is or to satisfy some curiosity in us. I came across something else as I was going through my office. I came across an old sermon I had written. If it wasn't before I became an ordained minister, it was shortly thereafter. It was a two-part sermon. I had to have help with this one. One person is praying, and the other person, well, it starts out like this. "Our Father, who art in heaven," yes? "Well, don't interrupt me, I'm praying." "But you called me." "No, I didn't. I was praying. I said, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" "Yes, I know. That's who I am." And the sermon went on. An encounter between someone who's just reciting his prayers, calling on God, and a God who takes his words more seriously than he does. You just never know what might happen when you pray to God and he actually demonstrates that he's listening. We may be content to hear about Jesus, but he wants to meet with us. We may be satisfied like Zacchaeus simply to see him, to have a picture of him on our wall, if that's not breaking the commandment. He doesn't want just to see us. He wants to sit down and share a meal with us. What kind of a meal? A meal that we prepare. A meal perhaps of his own words, like that sermon reciting the Lord's Prayer. Or maybe a meal of our own sharing of our hearts with him. Sharing our anxieties. Like Paul says, don't be anxious. Instead, make your requests known to God. Sharing our fears with him. Sharing our needs with him, or how about this? Sharing our gratitude with him. That'd be a switch. It reminds me of the invitation that Jesus gave to believers in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Listen, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him, and he with me. And just in case you're wondering, he'll dine with her, and she with him also. It's not only men he wants to meet with. So we see there are really two stories being played out here at the same time, side by side. And two sets of answers to our question. Who is doing the seeking? Well, Zacchaeus is seeking. But so is Jesus. What are they seeking? They're seeking each other. And why are they seeking? Zacchaeus wants to get a peek at Jesus. Jesus wants to make himself known to Zacchaeus and to know him better in the bargain. In short, Zacchaeus is seeking to see Jesus. Jesus is seeking to save Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus got much more than he bargained for. All he wanted was a peek, and he ended up welcoming him to his house and fixing a meal for him. There are many people today who claim to be looking for the truth. Some even want to see Jesus, this man who claims to be the truth. Many churches are geared toward these seekers, thinking that they really sincerely want to know who God is and who Jesus is. Even many lifetime church members say they want to see Jesus. But when Jesus actually makes himself known through the words of Scripture, not everybody reacts the way Zacchaeus did. No, they want to dress Jesus up in more modern language and more modern appearance. They want to get rid of the things they regard as offensive in the Bible and only be left with a Jesus that totally pleases them. But when the real Jesus comes calling, they don't even see him. So how about you? What would you do if sometime you were praying or worshiping in church or going about your daily life and all of a sudden a thought of God or of Jesus came into your mind, or you saw something beautiful like a sunset or something or a rainbow and you said, "Thank you, Lord, that was beautiful." And all of a sudden, God spoke back. Well, it's nice of you to notice. And I've got more beauty in store for you if you'll leave your way of living and adopt my way of living. What if God showed you that he wanted more than just your passing interest? A song or two on Sunday morning, or a prayer before you go to bed. What if he actually wanted to enter your life and have fellowship with you? In that culture, sharing a dinner is more than just eating. It's a sharing of the self. It's an opportunity to open oneself up, let down the defenses, be who you are, and maybe discover who you really are. What would you do if right now Jesus were to call you by name and say, "Wally, come here immediately. I must stay with you today. Ron, I'm going to stay with you tomorrow. Jim, what are you doing this evening around 6 o'clock? No, I have a feeling this evening around 6 o'clock won't do. come here immediately, for I want to dine with you. Just how busy is your life? And just how eager are you for the opportunity, maybe, of getting more than a glimpse of Jesus, but of actually knowing him heart to heart? Heavenly Father, you are just full of surprises. Sometimes there's something in us that reaches out to you. We don't know how to express it. We don't even understand what it is. We just know that we're reaching, only to discover that you're the one reaching out for us. Perhaps there are already many times in our lives when you have reached out to us and we didn't know it was you, or we were too busy at the moment to pay attention. But Lord, right now we tell you, we want to see you. And if you want to see us, and if you want more than just a passing glance and a wave of the hand, the door is open. Please, come in. Make yourself known. And make us known to ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.